name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
From today's Gospel, Mark chapter 9, verse 42, words of Jesus. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung round his neck and he was thrown into the sea. What an assortment of readings we have today. The Gospel from Mark chapter 9 in particular has several sayings of Jesus that seem unconnected and seem a bit odd. A Gospel reading starts with these words of Jesus, "He who is not against us is for us," which gives a particular slant on being inclusive. In other words, inclusive doesn't mean those who are against us. And then Jesus talks about giving a cup of water, an obvious reference to charity, which is at the heart of many of our life as Christians. And then we come to my text, verse 42, one of Jesus' references to children, and there are several in the New Testament. But from there, we move to some of Jesus' most extreme, we might even say bloodthirsty sayings. If your hands or your feet or your eyes cause you to sin, cut them off. Well, who amongst us hasn't sinned, even metaphorically, with our eyes or our hands or our feet? Surely Jesus isn't being serious. In Australia, if you are a very enthusiastic, we would say overzealous supporter of a football team, you are referred to as being one-eyed. I wonder if we could have one-eyed Charger supporters today. Perhaps that's what Jesus meant. But of course, he doesn't mean cut off your foot or your hand or pluck your eye out. He is, as he occasionally does, using dramatic language to underline how serious our Christian calling is. No mucking about, we might say. But as if the gospel was not enough for us to ponder with difficulty, the first reading from the Old Testament has two interesting stories. Firstly, we are in the Exodus and the Jews are grumbling. They had been led by Moses from their slavery and now they're complaining about the free manna God gave them in the desert, wishing they were back in Egypt with the meat and the free fish and eating, of all things, the melons, the leeks, the onions and the garlic. Now there's an interesting salad. Numbers chapter 11 then moves to the story of Eldad and Medad. It's a fascinating account of these two men who didn't go with the other 70 elders chosen by Moses to the tabernacle for worship and instruction, but stayed behind in the camp. And even though they weren't with the others, they still received an outpouring of God's Spirit. Interesting. It seems to suggest that even the select few are not as privileged as perhaps we might imagine. Not to be outdone, we come to the epistle from James chapter 4, where St. James sounds a warning to the double-minded in very strange ways. And in fact, I think he's addressing those who are complacent. He says, if you are joyful, you should be mourning, because he is saying, of course, we have our priorities wrong. What therefore is an Episcopal preacher to do with such a strange assortment of readings? Well, it seems to me, in my simple assessment, that the one theme flowing through all these readings is that of commitment. What St. James is really saying is, if you are a Christian, live like one. Don't be double-minded and don't be pretentious. Above all, he says, love your fellow Christians. In other words, our commitment to Christ must be shown by our actions. The first reading from Numbers reminds us of a very important principle for Christians. Don't complain about God when you think he's not looking after you, but always give thanks to God for his blessings to you. You know, it's so easy, isn't it, to ask God to do this and fix that and to say, why God, even for us who are loyal Christians. And I often think, so often when we attempt to think that God owes us something, we need to reflect on what he has given us. And we all have received many blessings. And if we always started our request to God with an awareness in humility of how he has blessed us, then perhaps we wouldn't be so eager to complain. So when we are tempted to grumble about life, like those Jews, or tempted to judge others, like those who St. James wrote to, turn to God and give thanks for what he has done for you. And the gospel, of course, does focus on commitment in an extreme way. Now, I don't expect to see our congregation next week full of people with one arm, one leg and one eye, but I do expect all of us to go home today and reflect on the seriousness of our call to follow Christ. It is not easy being a Christian, but so often we take it easily. Jesus' challenge about sin comes home to us. It's a good challenge, I believe, for October is, of course, Stewardship Month. That month in every Episcopal parish when we are challenged to make a financial commitment to our parish and to pledge. Many people think Stewardship Month is about parish finances and our budget, more or less like any other organisation we might belong to, or about our life as a group with a common purpose, which we are, or about keeping our church going, which we want to, of course. And stewardship may well be about all these things. And I do encourage you all to come to the parish dinner, which is one of those unique occasions when, as a family, the congregations of 8 and 10 come together to enjoy our life as a parish family. And of course, I certainly encourage you to make a financial commitment to our parish and to pledge. And all that is true and appropriate, and you will hear more, of course. But what stewardship is really about is what Jesus is talking about in today's gospel. Following Jesus is serious. We must not hold back, and we must have commitment and enthusiastic zeal. Of course, today, Jesus is not talking about money. After all, he had no budget. But we who follow him here at All Saints do have a budget. In our following of Christ, making a financial commitment to that budget is both a sign and an expression of our commitment to Christ. Having said that, all that, which is important, you will no doubt remember that I chose for my text today that odd saying that Jesus threw in about children. When he talked about sinning against little ones, people should be thrown into the sea with a millstone around their necks. I've always liked this because I grew up opposite the sea, and it reminds me of those gangster movies where the traitor or the enemy gets thrown to the river with lead-laden shoes. You will remember Jesus said a number of things about children. When I am on an aeroplane near a noisy family, I always think of his well-known saying, "Suffer the little children." But what we find in St. Matthew's Gospel is something rather interesting. In chapter 18, Matthew gives the same incident that we find in our Gospel today of Mark. It is the same conversation. And in Matthew 18, verse 10, after reference to cutting off feet and hands and eyes, he says this in reference to the little ones. Jesus saying, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always behold the face of my Father." Not for St. Matthew a reference to millstones, but a declaration about guardian angels, particularly for children. Now, this is one of the teachings of the church that all of us are protected by the guardian angels. And I think perhaps as we think about commitment, it's a good point to finish on as a distraction. For in all our living, particularly our living of the gospel, both individually and as a parish, we must remember the Christian life is more than just this world. It is about the next world and the unseen world. St. James says as much today in chapter 4, verse 7, where he says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, we don't often think of the devil in those terms of resisting him and him fleeing. And St. Peter says in one of his epistles that the devil goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We do not often see the devil in those terms, but the devil is there, unseen, roaring around, and we need to resist him so he may flee. Satan, that old enemy, as Scripture says, is in the spiritual realm, but his activity and his influence very much affects this world and this dimension. In the same way, we do not see the angels, but they are there, unseen, helping and protecting us. Some people, of course, think that angels are part of children's fairy tales or only exist at Christmas in the Christmas story. On the other hand, when we look at Scripture, it tells us that angels are both guardians and messengers from heaven, from that other realm which we will inherit. If modern scientific discovery has shown us anything, it is that there is a lot out there that we can neither see, nor feel, nor understand. So the scriptural account of angels is both scientific and true. And I also find it encouraging. God is not just Lord of this world, he is Lord of every world and every dimension. And how wonderful that in his great love for us, he created angels to help us both in this world and in the world to come. Yes, we have much to thank God for, and that surely is worth both our response and our commitment. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.